weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
Having won the lastminute.com Edinburgh Comedy Award at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe 2016, Richard Gadd is now bringing his hugely personal view of the world in which we live to the Cambridge Junction tomorrow. He's battled with mental illness following a sexual assault. I've been speaking to Richard and asked him how his act has changed as a result.
It was kind of interesting because my comedy used to be that I used to sort of operate a sort of arm's length from myself. So all of my comedy would be, you know, it'd be quite angry and I'd gone through sort of quite a personal tragedy in a lot of ways. And so my knee-jerk reaction to that was on stage to sort of escape from myself, shall we say. When you go through, you know, an incident like sexual assault, you sort of lose familiarity with yourself. You know, it's like a personal detachment. So on stage, I sort of ran away from who I was by being loud and shouty and sweaty. And sort of, you know, quite hyper masculine in a lot of ways, and I felt that, you know, a lot of criticisms that were levied at the shows and levied at that stage persona were that it was, you know, it was sort of emotionally cold, and I always felt that always hurt me a bit, because I always felt that as a person I was very emotional, especially having been through what I'd been through. And so I felt that it was time to maybe do the subject matter of what I'd been through some justice by actually telling the truth and sort of, you know, accepting myself, shall we say. So it was a sort of process of self-acceptance, you know, it was sort of a process of escaping from what happened and then accepting what happened.
And have you noticed a change in the audience's reaction to you? Forget about the critics and all that lot. The way the people in the front row, the people in the back row, what the hecklers shout out these days. What do you feel has changed there?
Well, the change is just more of a connection. I'm sure, you know, those shows I did beforehand were very well received by the audiences. You know, they laughed and that, but that's all they did. They laughed. I think with this show just being as personal as it is, it's got them sort of thinking as well, and I think it's quite moving in places. So I wouldn't say I got heckled loads in my old shows, because I think the person I presented on stage was quite abrasive.
So they might have been scared of him.
Didn't like him. Yeah, scared of him, you know, and then people get their back up and they want to challenge, you know, that sort of broken authority that I had on stage. But now I think because it's such a vulnerable show and because, you know, it's extremely confessional, I don't think I've been heckled once. Mm. I don't think I've been heckled at all during this show. And I think because they can see from the outset just how sort of personal it is. So I think the audience response has been, you know, extremely sort of open-armed and empathetic. You know, I've been very, very pleased, and I think my hit ratio has gone up as well, because I think maybe my hit ratio in terms of a good gig to bad gig ratio was about 50-50. I think now it's a lot higher than that. It's still not perfect, but it's a lot higher.
I guess you can tell there must be a dreadful moment every once in a while when it is one of those few not so good shows and you're thinking to yourself 5 minutes in, oh no, I've got quite a bit of material to get through here.
Oh, that feeling is awful. You know, you can usually tell within the first 5-10 minutes how a gig's going to go. It's an awful feeling to be 5 minutes in and think, well, if they're not going for this, they're certainly not going to go for the more sort of surreal, wacky stuff later on, you know.
Well, I guess you have to take a run-up with these things, don't you, really, and just not let everything out in one go.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's so, like, the show is very high concept, because a lot of people, when they come to see comedy, they expect to see a man holding a microphone telling jokes about, you know, their family and their upbringing and all this kind of stuff. But because, you know, I spend this show running 10 kilometres on a treadmill in very, very tight pink shorts, which has a point within the show, you know, people see somebody running up on the treadmill and they can sort of have a knee-jerk reaction.
I was going to ask about that. So that presumably started back in Edinburgh and the build-up to Edinburgh. And what do? You take the treadmill around with you, or you ring up in advance and hire one locally?
Well, I take it around with me. You know, I've got a beaten up sort of Skoda Fabia car that I sort of take it around. I mean, it's such an old treadmill that's ripped up all the seats and the roof of the car. Like, it's really in a bad nick. But I sort of take it out and I pull it around with me. You know, and I wait. You know, I'm waiting for that moment. Touch wood, it never happens. Where I plug it in a venue and it just doesn't start, because the whole show is completely reliant on the sort of the 10 kilometres I run to get through the show.
Yeah. I've read you avoided describing the assault at any time really in particular detail because of your parents. Can't really say I blame you for that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's become part of your show. So presumably there was a moment when you sat down and said, right, I'm going to put the consequences of all of this on stage and be funny about them. When was that moment?
Well, the moment was not being able to sort of separate myself from it anymore. You know, writing these comedy shows that were removed from myself whilst going through something like that was quite difficult. So I found it more and more difficult to separate myself from my mental clutter. And I thought, you know, I needed to do this. It wasn't just my parents. Obviously, that was a big factor. I was very, you know, my parents don't need to read the gory details in a paper. You know, they don't need to read that. Also, you know, I felt like, you know, a lot of the times assault is an incident and the mental effects last a lifetime. And I certainly think that the mental ramifications for me were hugely problematic, lasted for years and years and years, still last to this day. And I really wanted to get that across because that in the long term really impacted me more. A lot of times I always felt if I gave the sort of A to Z of what happened, then my show would become gossip and I didn't want it to become that.
Mm. And you won the Edinburgh Comedy Award for last year, I think it was now, wasn't it? I've had trouble with years. And £10,000, nice amount of money to receive. Yes. Maybe you could buy a new treadmill with it, I don't know. But
tax deductible.
The award was a nice amount of money.
It doesn't go far in London, but yeah.
No, I guess. I know. But unfortunately, I have to tell you, it won't go far in Cambridge either on Saturday night. the award itself, though, I wonder if it's just the getting of the award almost, that was the victory rather than the money.
Oh yeah, I mean it was this validation, you know, it takes your confidence away when you're being sexually assaulted. It really does. It is an emotionally crippling thing to go through. And you know, the award was sort of, you know, hard work and a validation that, oh, you know, maybe I'm not as bad as I beat myself up in my head for being, you know. So yeah, that was the validation. And the validation was also, you know, like the other things that came with that. I'm now working for a charity called Survivors, you know, as an ambassador role, and you know, people start to look to you sort of for advice and start to respect your opinion as somebody who's been through this and is speaking out. And I think that's very important.
Mm. You're relatively young, I think in your 20s, if my memory serves me right, and you surely you're not going to be doing talking about a sexual assault forevermore in your act. So I wonder where you take it next, because by the sounds of things, you're not going to be wanting to go back to the shouty comedy of the start of your career.
No, I'm definitely not. I have to figure that out. I've got loads of ideas, loads of plans. I don't want to be just doing shows about sexual assault my entire life, but I want to continue the work privately and with charities like Survivors, for example, and I want to continue that sort of work, you know, privately whilst, you know, moving on my career in different directions and surprising directions that people don't expect me to do. I always like to try and be surprising, but I think, you know, the show is accelerated way beyond where I expected it to accelerate to, and you know, when it's time to hang up the boots, I'll hang up the boots, and then I'll work on the next thing. But what one thing I will take from this show that I wasn't doing before was that, you, no matter what you do, you do need to make a human connection with your audience. Mm. For sure.
Well, Saturday night, hopefully you'll make a connection in Cambridge. I always ask this of people, and it's the "Have you been to Cambridge before?" question.
Yes, I have. You know, funnily enough, I won a Chortle Student Heat back there, the Chortle Student Comedy Awards. Must have been about 2011, 2012 now.
Wow.
And I won the Chortle Student Heat back then, and it was an amazing crowd. I can't remember where it was. So I've been there once before, and I actually broke down on the way home. So,
always a good memory.
Of my experiences to Cambridge.
Well, I hope they came out fairly quickly and managed to navigate their way through the traffic. Richard, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks
indeed.
Very much.
And
thanks for having me on.
Best of luck with the show. Thanks very much.
Thanks. Thanks very much. All the best.
And Richard Gadd is on stage at the Cambridge Junction, J3, tomorrow night. The show, Monkey See, Monkey Do. It costs you £11.50 to get in. Details and booking tickets as well on the Junction website, junction.co.uk. 5:45.